Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. The Bible says this, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." It's from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said it himself. But what a great promise it is. If we will hunger and we will thirst after righteousness, the Bible says, Jesus himself said, we will be filled. Now, I want you to turn to another verse. It's in Proverbs. It's in chapter 27 of Proverbs. Because I want you to see that there's another side of this. And I think sometimes we live on the other side of it a whole lot more than we ought to. I'm going to challenge you about hungering and thirsting after righteousness this morning. But first of all, I want you to see this. Proverbs chapter 27. And find verse number 7. Proverbs 27, verse 7. Here's what the Bible says. The full soul loatheth or hates or despises, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. Now stop for just a second. Have you ever eaten honeycomb? I actually have. My uncle has a ranch out in Algodones, just north of Bernalillo, and he had some honeybees take up residence in the adobe outside of his house, and somehow there's a big crack in there. They built a huge nest. And a huge hive, and these honeybees just made so much honey, they had to call a bee guy, and he came out, he got rid of the honey and all the bees and all that, but he gave them the honey and the honeycomb. I went by there, I visited, and my uncle said, you've got to try this, it tastes so good. And I like honey, but you know, if you eat too much honey, it loses its effectiveness, I guess, its wonderfulness. There's another new word for the day. And so I took a bite of this honeycomb, and it was amazing. It's kind of waxy, kind of, remember those little waxy juice things that you kind of chew when you were a kid? Well, it's kind of waxy like that, but it was full of this most wonderful, sweet, unprocessed honey. It was amazing. But the Bible says the full soul, if your soul is full, you loathe or don't even want it, you hate it, despise a honeycomb. But look at the next part. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. So whether you want it or whether you're going to hunger for it, a lot of it is going to be determined by whether you are already full. Here's the title of the message this morning, Too Full to Enjoy a Good Meal. Too Full to Enjoy a Good Meal. Whenever I was a teenager, we went to a church across town, down in the South Valley, Rio Grande Baptist Church, and a lot of times after church, my parents would take us out to First Cafeteria. I loved First Cafeteria. It's actually the one that's right here on Coors. It used to be a First. Now it's someplace I'm not even going to mention. But we used to go there, and I would be so hungry after lunch. I mean, after church, getting ready for lunch. Sometimes, if you were lucky, your Sunday school teacher would make some kind of food for you to eat, and my dad was a junior church preacher, so we'd usually snag some candy out of his candy jar or something like that. But usually, we'd still be pretty hungry. And I remember pulling up into the parking lot of First Cafeteria, having been there before. Now, this is the old-style First Cafeteria where there was the line, and you'd sometimes stand in a very long line just to get to lunch. And by the time you got to the front of the line, at least me, my stomach was rumbling, growling, just doing flip-flops. I was starving. I couldn't wait to eat. I'd get my tray, and I'd load it up. For some reason, they'd put salad in the front, skip the salad, and then, at this particular first, they'd put dessert next. They would have these sugar-free, you know, diet-type desserts, and that doesn't make any sense at all, but they'd put that next, so grab a couple Jell-Os off of that, and then you go to the next section and the next section, and all the way through, all you got to do is you just tell them what you want, and they put it on your plate. It was the most amazing thing. It's like going to the refrigerator, having anything you want, and it's already cooked. You just put it on. I remember as a 15, 16, 17-year-old boy just starving and loaded up, and my tray would just be so full by the time I got to the end, carry it to where I was sitting, and I'd eat that. And then they started this wonderful thing called I forgot what they called it. It was seconds or refills or whatever it was, unlimited trips back through. I remember I'd go back through. And then I'd go back through and get the dessert, and I'd load up on pecan pie, and I'd load up on the chocolate pudding and bread with ice cream on it. And I would load up, and I would eat, and I would eat, and I would eat. And by the time we were done, I would be so full, I didn't even want to look at the rest of the food that might have been on my plate. And if you've ever been to the Furs, they'd serve it in little bitty bowls. or little bitty plates. And I would end up with a stack of bowls and a stack of plates and just all these dishes around me because I just ate so very much. And you might as well, right? You're paying for it. Get your money's worth. Does that make sense to anybody else? You go to a buffet, you get your money's worth. And I remember walking out to the car nearly every time, just so full. I mean, like, almost sick full. Just like if anybody even talks about food, or if I see a billboard with a picture of food, or if I smell any food, I'm just going to lose it. I am just so stuffed full. If you were going to try to feed me anything right there, I promise you, I would not eat it. I don't care if it was the best dessert in town. I don't care if it was the best steak you could make. I was just so full, I just didn't want any more. And I want to challenge you this morning because the Bible says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But the full soul loatheth the honeycomb." Your body has the amazing ability to create a hormone that tells your brain that your stomach is full. It's an amazing design that God put in there. If you eat food that's good for you, then the hormone will tell your brain that you're full when you are full, and you'll have enough energy to make it through the day because you've filled up on good food. But if you eat junk food, you're going to feel full, but you're not going to have the energy to thrive during your day. You know, there's even drugs that we've, as humans, we've come up with. They're diet-type drugs, and you could take these drugs, you could eat them or whatever, and they mimic, they pretend like they're that natural hormone in your body that produces, and then gives you this idea, it makes you think that you're full when you really aren't. Now, there's two reasons for not being hungry that I can think of. One is you already are full of something else. The only other reason I can think of is you're sick. Maybe there's other reasons, but those are the two that I can think of. Now, if you're not hungry for God today, it's either because you're already full of something else or you're spiritually sick. I'm burdened about this. I'm burdened that as a nation, I'm burdened as Christians, even in our church, that we are so full of everything else that we aren't even hungry for God anymore. Did you come to church hungry for God this morning? Did you come to church hungry to hear something from the Word of God? It's amazing. Oftentimes, we haven't had it happen a whole lot, but the amount of times when somebody leaves our church and says, "Pastor, I'm just not being fed." Well, it's interesting because we still have Sunday school, we're teaching the Bible, and we have church where we're teaching the Bible and preaching the Bible, and the evening service and we're preaching the Bible, and Wednesday service where we're teaching and preaching the Bible. But for somebody to say, "I'm just not getting fed," the problem is not that the food is not being served. The problem is that we're coming to church full. We're not full of spiritual things, because when you fill yourself with spiritual things, you desire more spiritual things. God desires a church full of Christians who are hungry for the things of God. And I'd like to submit to you this morning that we don't have a church full of people that are hungry for the things of God. I mean, we may dabble in the things of God, but we are so full as modern-day Christians, so many of us, we're so full of everything else the world has to offer. When it comes to our Bible reading, we'll take a little bit, a little snack there. When it comes to the preaching, maybe a little bit of a snack there or a nibble there. Kind of like my kids after church, after their teachers loaded them up with all the stuff that they load them up in Sunday school. And we go to church and we go home and we sit around the table and we have a meal and maybe the littlest one just kind of picks at his food. And, you know, "I'm really not hungry, I'm stuffed." How can you be stuffed? We haven't even started eating it. You know, sometimes I really feel like that's how we come to God. That's how we come to church. That's how we come to our Bible reading. But God desires a church full of Christians who are hungry for the things of God. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. God desires people to be hungry, to be close to God. God desires us to be hungry to know God. God desires us to be hungry to see Him work in miraculous ways. Aren't you hungry for that? Wouldn't it be an amazing thing to see God do some amazing things in our church, to reach somebody that seems unreachable, to provide in ways that seem just impossible? I'm hungry to see God work in those ways. God wants us to be hungry to see souls saved. Most of us aren't. Most of us are so full of other things. that, well, if somebody else gets saved or not really doesn't matter, but God wants us to be hungry for that. I'm going to ask you this morning to consider what's in your heart as I preach this message. Are you hungry to be close to God? Are you hungry to know God? Or are you hungry to see God work in miraculous ways? Are you hungry to see souls saved? Are you hungry to have great big prayers answered? Are you hungry to hear Bible preaching? Are you hungry to serve God? Are you hungry to be used by God? Now, many of us may just have to honestly answer and say, well, not really. I mean, that all sounds great, but I'm here, I'm putting in my time, and I'm done for the rest of the week. I'm getting it over with. I'm putting in my time. I'm there, people can see me, and I'm done. Or are you hungry? Are you hungry for the things? Are you hungry for righteousness? Are you hungry for God to do something in your life? He wants to do it in your life. He wants to change your life. He wants to work through you and in you. He wants to do it. Are you hungry? Now, if you're not hungry, I'm going to show you why I really believe. But the first question is, are you? And I think so many times, if we're honest with ourselves, we would just have to say, well, not really. I'm really not. I mean, yeah, it sounds good to be close to God. Sounds good to know God. Sounds good to see God work. And yeah, it'd be great if souls got saved. I'd say that's a wonderful thing, but I'm really hungry for it. I mean, if you're hungry for it, you'd search for it. If you're hungry for it, you'd do something about it. You'd make sure you'd got fed. But if you're not hungry for it, then it's just going to be kind of one of those, sure, I'll take it if you're serving it, but you know, not really a huge desire. And the reason I believe is because we're a church of people and we're a nation of Christians who are already full. We're already too full to read our Bible every day. We're already too full to spend time in prayer every day. We're already too full to let God use us. We're already too full to add God's plan to our schedule. We're too full with our own desires to care about what God wants. We're already too full to let God try to change us more than once a week. Well, what are we full of? You probably, if you were to consider and think down in your heart, you probably know the answer to this already without me even saying it. If you were to allow God to speak to your heart, and just to think, and if you were to have an honest conversation with God right here this morning, and you were to say, God, what is it that I'm full of? What is it that's making me so I'm really not hungry for the things of God? Yeah, I'll go because somebody else wants me to. I'll go because my husband wants me to, or my wife wants me to, or it's just what's expected of me, but I'm really not that hungry for things of God. Well, why is it? Now, if you were to ask God to show you, and you were to think about what's in your heart, what's filling up, you probably know. You could probably think of what it is that's filling up your heart and filling up your desires, taking up all your thoughts. What are you thinking about? Those things are what's keeping you from being hungry. In our culture, we're so full of Saturday night entertainment. We have no desire to listen to Sunday morning preaching. We fill our mind with it. We fill our time with it. We stay up late Saturday night so often, and by the time Sunday morning comes around, the preaching of the Word of God can change your life, but you have to be hungry enough to want to listen. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're too full of Saturday night entertainment. We're so full of Hollywood movies that our minds are tired and distracted from the preaching and from our Bible reading. We're so full of pretend people with pretend problems in their pretend world on TV that we aren't getting any real spiritual nourishment. Now, you might get upset at me for saying this, but I'm preaching, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then, God said, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. What I'm preaching this morning is what we need to do is planting the seeds of revival. And we are so full of what this world offers, there's no way God can fill us with anything spiritual because we're already full. You've already been filled to capacity, and we're full to capacity. We're so full of video games that we don't really even want to let God put anything in our heart. We're so full that we're not hungry enough to come back on Sunday night or Wednesday night. I'm going to step on some toes this morning, but I'm going to say this. If you were hungry for God, you would be in church every chance you could. We're so full of the world that reading our Bible is a chore instead of an enjoyment. Now, really, when the preacher says, you ought to read your Bible every day, and you know you ought to read your Bible every day. We're Christians, we know this. Whenever we hear, I'm supposed to read my Bible every day, do I think, yay, I get to read my Bible every day? Or am I thinking, man, when am I going to work that into my schedule to read my Bible? Wait a minute. It's the Word of God. Everything that God wants us to know, He put in that book and He gave it to us. He inspired it. He preserved it. People died for it. And we just kind of leave it on the back dashboard of our car because it'll be there next Sunday whenever I get to church. Wait a minute. That's because we're not hungry for the things of God. Now, you can't just make yourself hungry for the things of God by sitting here thinking, okay, I want to be hungry for the things of God. You can't just make that happen like that. You've got to let something else go. You've got to not eat dessert before you get to the main meal, or else you're not going to want it. As Christians, we're filling our hearts and souls and schedules, everything we've got. We're filling ourselves up with everything that this world offers, and because some of it's not sinful. Much of it's not sinful things, but it's just filling us up so that we don't even desire the things of God. If you don't enjoy reading your Bible, you're too full of what the world is serving. Now, I'm not trying to be upset at anybody today. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help myself. I'm trying to, as I studied this and as I prepared for this, I realized there are some things in my life, in the pastor's life, that are making me so I'm not hungry for the things of God. And those things, if I will just not put them in my heart, in my life, in my time, then I will be more hungry for the things of God. I've decided to read my Bible through this year. And I'm excited about it. But here's what happened. As I got reading my Bible, I really started enjoying it. And I think I'm going to make it through 2 or 3 times this year. I'm just really enjoying it. But I didn't start that way. I started thinking, oh man, Genesis, here it goes again. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And here it goes. Wait till I get to the genealogies. Woo, this is going to be tough. But I'm really, really enjoying that. Well, what's happening? God's doing a work in my heart. And I want to share that work with you. Because if God can do it for me, God can do it for you. And could you imagine what would happen with a church full of people that hungered and thirsted after righteousness instead of filling ourselves up with all the junk food of this world? You can't live on spiritual junk food and expect to be hungry for God. It's just the truth. You just can't do it. You can't fill your heart with things that deaden your hunger for God and expect to be filled by Him. You won't do anything for God until you get hungry for God. So there's a great question. How do you get hungry? You may be here. You may be thinking, I would love to love God like that. I'd love to have a passion for God. I would love to have such a hunger for God that I just had a great desire for Him. I would love that, but that's just not where I am. So how do you do it? Well, let me give you the first step. Don't fill up on junk food. Don't let your soul get full of things that replace God. That's where you got to guard your heart. That's where you close the doors and you say no to some things. We won't get into all the details of all those things, but entertainment's probably the biggest one for us. Really, it is. The music, the movies, the places, the time. It's such a huge thing. A social interaction on online stuff can be a big one if you're not careful. The Facebook type of things, they can just fill you up. Other people's problems, other people's things. TV is a great example because it's not even real. We've got a 5-year-old. He's 4. Whew. Don't get ahead of myself. He's 4 years old, and we're trying to explain to him what's real and what's not real. So I was having this conversation with him yesterday, and I told him this. Listen, if it's an animal and it talks, it's not real. If it's a car and it talks, it's not real. Then Joshua, thanks, Josh, I appreciate it. Well, what about the donkey that talked in the Bible? I was like, okay, so there are some animals that did talk. And the snake, right, he talked. trying to just determine what is real and what's not real. That's hard to do for a little guy. And you know what? Even as adults, those situations, the pretend people, pretend problems in the pretend world, those, they weigh on our hearts and they're real emotional clutter for us. And the more of that you put into your heart, the less room you're going to have to be hungry for the things of God. How do you get hungry? Well, you don't fill up on junk food. Let me give you another way to not be hungry. I'm almost done with the introduction, and that's just where we're going to have to finish this morning, I think. There's some great principles. I'll post them online or something, but we'll have to get them to you some other time. How do you get hungry? First, don't fill up on junk food. Second, you give out so you have room for more. You can minister to someone. You teach a class. You can work on a bus route. You can go soul winning. If you're filling your heart spiritually with spiritually nutritious food, then God will give you a desire to share that with others. If you just take and take and take and take, you're going to be so full of toxins and bitterness and you're not going to have room for God to give you anything else. God didn't design you to be a reservoir. He designed you to be a river. The Dead Sea's dead because it just takes and takes and takes and doesn't give. You've heard these things before. But why am I not hungry for God? One reason may be just because I'm not giving anything. Are you giving? Are you plugged into a ministry where you can teach or where you can share what God put on your heart, or you can tell somebody about Jesus, or you can help a kid come to church on Sunday. Is there some way that you can give, or are you just taking and taking? I so don't have time for these principles. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In order to be filled, you must hunger and thirst for what is right. For what is right. There's so many things out there that are sinful. We certainly don't want to hunger and thirst for those, so just starve ourselves for those. But there's some things out there that they're not sinful. They're just the weights the Bible talks about, that the spiritual junk food. I preached a message several years ago, a lot of years ago actually. It's when the Chicken Soup for the Soul books were really popular. And I titled it, Chips and Coke for the Soul. And you know, that's what we load up on so many times. It's just the spiritual junk food. I'll finish with this. Liz, I appreciate you putting this video up on Facebook. It was awesome. Somebody in China, a missionary in China, took a video and recorded as these Chinese Christians were opening up a suitcase full of the first Bibles they've ever seen. I mean, this was last year, I think it was the video was taken. And you should have seen these Christians that had never held a Bible, maybe more than a page or a little piece of a Bible, for the very first time. There's a room full of Christians and probably 20, 30 maybe, and then the suitcase in the middle, and it was opened, and the cover was opened up, and they ran and grabbed. You couldn't even see the suitcase. They weren't fighting, but they just wanted it. They grabbed their Bible, and then coming out from this just mass of people, you could see them coming up, and they would hold it. And it looked like this. They would hold their Bible, and they'd hold it to their mouth, and they would hug it, and they would look at it, and they were hungry for what God had. And as I watched that, I thought, I'm really not very hungry. Got a Bible here, and I've got another one there, and got another one there. But these Christians, they would just hold it. Just hold it like this. And I know we don't worship the pages that it's on, but this is something special. And then they begin to read it, and they would sing. I just want to ask you this morning. We'll finish the message another time. We just are out of time this morning, but are you hungry for what God has to give you? If you were hungry for it, and you allow God to fill you with His righteousness, with what He has for you, I promise you this, it will absolutely change your life, who you are, the direction you're going, the potential that you have in your life, what you can do with your life. You got one life. If you would just, I'm going to say this one more time and we're done. If you just stop filling up, and if I would, all of us, if we just stop filling up with everything the world offers, allow God to fill us with what He wants to fill us with, our lives would be absolutely transformed. Father, I pray that You would use this very simple truth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Lord, I pray that You would help us to make the real life decisions to say no to some of that spiritual junk food, to say no to so much of what that world offers and what fills us up but doesn't do us any good. Lord, help us to make some very real decisions to say no to those things and to begin to fill up on righteousness and Your Word instead. And God, I pray that You would bring a revival among our people, in my heart and in our people's hearts, a revival of people that are filled with righteousness, that desire You, that are hungry for You. Lord, I know that You can make a change. I know You can bring revival, but before You bring revival, You said, if my people, then You said we've got to turn from our wicked ways. And Lord, we're just wanting to follow that pattern. And I ask You this morning that You would help us to do it. Give us the courage to do it. Give us the wisdom to know what is good for us and what is not good for us.